Okay, today's daf is daf Yud Beis, 46 days in the Omer, daf in Samar Mon, and we're holding at
HaMakdish
Nechasav V'hayu Behen Devarim Ru'uyim L'Korbanot HaTzibur. Supposing somebody just takes all of his estate, he says, I'm giving the whole thing to Hekdesh. We discussed this in passing yesterday, so we're already familiar with the idea. And there were things there that were ru'uyim l'korbanot ha'tzibur. As we saw yesterday, there's really two ways we could understand that. Could be it's referring to the actual ketoret, let's say. Then we would get into the question of whether the ketoret can be made by an individual without a kli sharet. It could, of course, also be talking about that maybe just the ingredients for the ketoret were found, not the ground of the ketoret. It would also be ro'in for the tzibur. This, in fact, is the way the Bavli has this circuit, instead of getting into the question necessarily whether it was people for Beit Aftinas to avoid the issue that we discussed yesterday. But in any event, we'll wait till we get back to the circuit in the Gemara. There were things there that could be used for korbanot ha-tzibur. Now, this is not referring to animals, because that's a separate clause in the Mishkot to come later, as we'll see. It's got to be referring to something else. Yinatnu lo'omanim bischaran divrei Rabbi Akiva. What we can do is, we can take these things, despite the fact that the person has given them now to Hekdesh, we can bepoda them on the value of the work of the workers, and then again go through the whole thing of buying them back with the Truma Chadash, which we'll see, we'll discuss later. To which, before Rabbi Akiva even finishes the idea about buying them back, Ben Azai says to him, wait, just hold on a second. Enah yamida, you can't do that. You've already agreed in the previous Mishnah. Nobody argued about that. That we first need to be mechalel, the hegdesh that's on it, before we give it to, can't be mechalel the ketoret on this charum anim. You have this whole complicated thing that we had this Rube Goldberg contraption. To take money, and then to be mechalel on the money, and then to give it to them in the schar, and then to buy it back from them in the schar. What happened? Now, of course, this is because Ben Azai holds that, as the Gemara will explain, you cannot be poda, hegdish, on a non-physical thing. You can't say the work, the money that's owed for the work, is going to be now here. And the hegdish money in this object is now mechulel on that. What I owe you. That's not considered to be chilul. There has to be an actual item or a coin in which I could be b'chalad or not. And that was the basis of the whole previous Mishnah, which is why we paskud like Ben Azai, because the Stam Mishnah was in fact like Ben Azai. Whereas Rabbi Akiva holds that Hekdesh is nifta al-malacha, and he actually learns this out from the Pasuk, the V'yasu li migdash, li means from my own money. In other words, the value of the work is considered to be my money too. So that means that you can be put at things on that value. What then does Ben Azai suggest should be done? Elama frishin mehem sakara umanim. Once again, we have to set aside money for the sakara umanim, which is chulin. Then, mechalalinotan al ma'ota umanim. We now take the value of the ktoret, let's say, that we had over here, we're mechalalit on that money, and then we give the ktoret again, let's say, to the omanim, bischaran, which is now chulin, and then we go and rebuy it with the truma chadasha, chozim elokinotam b'truma chadasha, in order for us to be able to use it for korbanot zibur from the year that is coming from the truma chadasha. Hamagdish nechasam, how about somebody who gives his estate to Hekdesh, and the estate includes behemot. Ayuvem behemah, ru'uya agabe mizbeach, and these behemot are tinimi. So they could actually be brought themselves on the mizbeach. So now there's two problems that we have to consider. One is, what did the guy mean? Did he mean to give this behemah to the most effective use of a hegdish, so that he would want to give it directly to the mizbeach? Let us talk a little bit about a background of Hekdesh. We have two completely different bank accounts in Hekdesh. Actually, it's a completely different gizbarut and idea. We have Hekdesh Mizbeach, Hagash Mizbeach is concerned only for things that are going to be brought on the Mizbeach. Then we have Hagash Berek Abayit. Never the twain shall meet. You cannot change the Hagash from one to another. Normally, when a person gives Hagash, his intent, as we learn from the Pasuk, Stam Hagashot Ala Berek Abayit. The guy just says, I want this to go to Hagash. I want this to go to Hagash means it goes to Berek Abayit. When somebody wants to give a carbon for himself, he'll say it's a carbon. And so on. He could also donate animals to the Mizbeach, which are not his carbonas, which become Hagdish's own carbonas. They, of course, would be used for what, as well we know, for Kayitz HaMizbeach, the standard Nedava, where Hagdish has a concern to bring carbonas that are Nedava, keep the Mizbeach busy. So, Kayitz HaMizbeach, let the Mizbeach have dessert. That's the Stam Ola, which is brought as a Nedava. Now, this does not yet touch on the difference of the types of Kedushas. Because even if you give something to the Mizbeach, you could give an air conditioner to the Mizbeach. Now, of course, you can't bring the air conditioner on the Mizbeach. But what you can do is you could sell the air conditioner and use the money to buy a Nedava again. Kayitz HaMizbeach. So it's not that Kedushat HaMizbeach does not include bank accounts. It does. It's just that Stam Hekdeshes don't go to the Mizbeach. If a person wanted to say this bank account goes to the Mizbeach, then we would use the money in that bank account to buy Karbanos. So we have Kedushas HaGuf LeMizbeach and we have Kedushas Damim LeMizbeach. That's not necessarily a function of Berek HaBayit or Mizbeach. It just it happens to be that when you give something to Berek HaBayit, it's always Kedushat Damim. It's not Kedushat Aguf. This is not, by the way, to be confused with a higher level of Kedushat Aguf, where something may have been given to the Mizbeach, but has not yet actually been put into a kli of Kedusha. The Nafkamina there's a higher level of Kedushat Kli, where it becomes Pasubelina and becomes Roy for the other Psulim, Yotze, and so on. Something could be Kodesh B'Kedushas HaGuf in the sense that it's more than its value that's Kodesh, and that is a Yi'ud. Its Guf is meant for the Mizbeach, but it's not yet Kodesh B'Kedushas HaGuf, Kli Yipasel Belina, or so on and so forth. So there's really three Dargis Kedusha. Kedushas Domin, Kedushas HaGuf, and then Kedushas Kli. Now, we have another principle that confuses the issue. The principle is this. Something given to Berek HaBayit, which would have been suitable by itself on the Mizbeach, cannot be relinquished by the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach grabs hold of it, so to speak, and says, no, hold on a second. That comes to me. So despite the fact that it's a separate account, and we'll keep the account separate, because then what we'll do is, we'll sell it, the money will go to the Berek HaBayit, but we'll sell it for the use of the Mizbeach. So somebody, let's say, who needs to bring a Korban Olah, will pay Berek HaBayit to purchase that animal, use it for the Mizbeach, so the Mizbeach says, okay, good. Good thing you brought it here. But the account, the money went to Berek HaBayit. Now, taking all of that into consideration, we can now begin to approach the mission. Yes.
So there are two types of Berek HaBayit. One is for things like star and things like that. The other one is love to feed the Mizbeach.
Yeah. No. There's one kind of Berek HaBayit. There's only a principle that the Mizbeach puts in first dibs for everything that's suitable for it.
So if you gave the air conditioner, but you wanted the money from it to be able to still be called Berek HaBayit?
You would give that to the Mizbeach. It wouldn't be called Berek HaBayit.
What's it called?
It's called Kedushas Domim LeMizbeach.
So any animal that can be bought for a korban that was donated to Berek HaBayit, which is roi for the Mizbeach has nothing to do with
it. Right. But the money will still belong to Berek HaBayit.
So who makes that purchase?
Anyone who needs the animal. In other words, Berek HaBayit has an outlet for korbanos, and you can buy your korban from Berek HaBayit, take it over to the Mizbeach, and the money is deposited in Berek HaBayit's account for use for the Berek HaBayit issues. Now, the question over here is further complicated by what did the guy mean when he gave this estate? Because if the estate included animals, so did he mean in his mind to really do something so strange? Take an animal that could have been given directly to the Mizbeach give it to Berek Abayit, expect Berek Abayit then to let it in its outlet to somebody who needs an oila, and then the money should go to Berek Abayit, or did he mean to actually give it to Mizbeach? Or do we say, look, it's basically the state. He wasn't thinking about this, that, and so on. Take the whole thing. By definition, means Berek Abayit. So here we have the complication of what the intent was, because obviously if he had defined the intent, then everything would be very straightforward.
What's often the difference if somebody needs a carbon, requires it from that
makes no difference. Makes no difference.
That gives more better advice. What is it? Where the money ultimately ends up?
Oh, yeah. Doesn't make any difference in the purchase.
So it depends which bank it goes to, that's it.
No, it doesn't matter to him. Where he gets it is not his problem. Where the money goes is the problem.
Right. So it depends which.
Yeah. Okay, so now let us decide what happens in such a case. A person donated his estate, and we find in that estate behemot, now that themselves could have gone to the Mizbeah. Mel behemot, nekevot behemot, what do we do? Says Rabbi Eliezer, look, I'll tell you what you do. The male animals are sold for the highest use of a male animal, which is an oila, in terms of its level of kedusha. The nekevot are sold for zivchei shlamim, but heck, this guy didn't give them to the Mizbeach. You can't, you're going to have to sell it. Because he gave it to Berek Abayit. He had no intention of separating out the elements of the estate. The whole thing, he wanted to go to Berek Abayit, because stomach dishes of Berek Abayit. The only problem is, a kosher animal in the Mizbeach cannot be relinquished. It's got to get on the Mizbeach somehow. So Berek Abayit puts it in their Korban outlet store, and everybody buys it for whatever they need it for. Rabbi Yoshua says, that doesn't make sense. We're going to sell the Korban Oila as an Oila for somebody. Well, why don't we just bring it directly to the Mizbeach? Because surely something that could have been used by Hegdash on the Mizbeach, the man's intent was to give it to the Mizbeach, not to give it to Berek Abayit. What's he scratching now his left ear with his right hand? I mean, what kind of funny way? Let him just give it directly. That's probably what he meant, right? So Zecharim Atzmam Yikarvu Olot. Since the Zohar was usable by Hekdesh, of course it's the other Rishut of Hekdesh, the Mizbeach Rishut of Hekdesh, but the animal could have been used directly by Hekdesh to be brought as an Oila. It's true, Hekdesh has no use for the females. So that he must have meant, because Hekdesh can't bring a Karman Shlomi. So therefore, admittedly, the Shlomim indeed should be sold for Karbanais, but he certainly meant to give all the animals to Mizbeach, didn't he? I mean, he wasn't thinking, I'm going to give it to Berek Abayit and then sell it for the money. So let the money of the Karban Shlomim that is sold be used by Hekdesh Mizbeach for an oil, for Kaitza Mizbeach. That way we have all of the non-Mizbeach suitable things. All those things are given to Berek Abayit. All Mizbeach suitable things are given to Mizbeach, either directly as a Korban Oila, or indirectly to be sold as Korban Shlomim to purchase a Korban Oila. But either way, I mean, it's not reasonable to say that a person who knows that the place of a behemoth is on the Mizbeach when it's in Hekdesh's hands would go ahead and give it to Berek Abayit. Not reasonable to me.
Give it to begin directly.
Yeah, he probably means to give it directly to the Mizbeach, even though the Mizbeach will have to sell it themselves and use the money for oilas. But still, a behemoth in people's mind connects directly to the Mizbeach. I mean, there's certainly no Jew, if given a Rothar's test, is going to see a picture of a behemoth and not immediately identify it with Mizbeach, right? So it's got to be that it just goes to Mizbeach. Omer Rabbi Akiva. Ro'eh ani adivir Rabbi Eliezer, adivir Rabbi Yeshua. I must tell you, I find Rabbi Eliezer's position that the whole thing was given to the Berek Abayit to be more reasonable. Rabbi Eliezer, he shivat minotav. I mean, Rabbi Eliezer is simply analyzing the intent of a Stam Hekdesh. He's saying the Stam Hekdesh to Berek Abayit. Rabbi Yeshua is rather complicated. He's telling me that a person keeps in mind this element and that element, it's unlikely. Om Rabbi Papayas, I shamati adivrei shnehem. They didn't call him Papayas for nothing. I was able to make piyus for him. Both of them work out. It depends how you said it, you see. A matish beferush, if somebody mentions now what it is that he's being makdish. He says, I'd like to give, let's say, my animals and my chattel to Hekdesh. He throws it all together. So then, as he throws it all together, it makes sense to say that that's going according to the way Reb Eliezer said it, because he could have been machalic, and he didn't. You know, once he's already mentioning my cattle and my chattel separately, he could have said my cattle to the Mizbeach and my chattel to Beit HaGabayim. But he didn't. So he probably means they all go to the same place. Whereas HaMakdish Stam, then he allowed us to interpret the most reasonable usage. It should go to Hekdesh. There it would be Kedivei Rabbi Yehoshua. Whatever is most suitable goes to that which fits it. HaMakdish Nechasav. Now a third clause. HaMakdish Nechasav Ayu Behem Devarim Re'uyim Megabei Mizbeach. So far we've discussed things suitable for Karbanot Tzibur. Let's say the Ketoret. Then in the second clause we discussed things that were suitable directly on the Mizbeach to be brought as Nidavot by Hekdesh. But how about if there are things that were not animals that can't be used by Hekdesh directly? Hekdesh doesn't have a way of making use as a gift other things on the Mizbeach besides those behemoths. So there were things, though, that are certainly meant to be used on the Mizbeach. Let's say Yenot, Shmanim, Silatot, some have the Girsa. Things that are brought for the Minchas Nesachim, or birds, which can be brought directly on the Mizbeach, and yet we'll see why we don't consider that to be something that would be given directly to the Mizbeach the way a female animal would. It's strange. I mean, you think the bird would be the same thing. But we'll see that it's different. Rebbe Eliezer Omer. No, the Ketoret was the first clause. Rebbe Eliezer Omer. Yimachu letzorchei oto amin. Well, you can also sell that in an outlet store for people who need that type of thing if they're bringing a korban mincha, or they're chayav to bring a korban oath. And then you would bring with the money olot. Now this is very strange because Rebbe Eliezer said before that stam hekdesh is where better gabayit, and that included even things that are right for the mizbeach. And over here, for some reason, he switches his tune, and he's suddenly saying, "Well, you'll sell it." We thought for sure he was going to say the same thing he said before. You'll sell it, and then the money will go to the better gabayit. Instead, he says, "You sell it, but the money goes to Mizbeach for use for Olot." That's really weird. We're going to have to see what the reason is for that. V'shar nechasim, everything else, the air conditioners, they can go to the Beit HaGabayim. Okay, so let's start now with our Pirush on the Mishnah. The first chelik of the Mishnah was HaMakdish and found things that were ru'uyim lekorbanot ha-tzibur. Now we already saw Rabbi Yochanan Shita. Rabbi Yochanan said that refers to the Ketoret. We wanted to be medayik based on that Rabbi Yochanan would hold that the Ketoret could be made in your own living room. And you don't need a kli sharet to go ahead and to grind the Ketoret, which was again Shmuel's approach as we saw yesterday. However, just as the Gemara said yesterday, Omer Rabbi Hoshaya, Tipater Ba'uman Mishal Beit Aftines, Shayon Tendotel Bezcharo Ketoret. You don't necessarily have to draw that conclusion, because we know that there's another way that a person who is not part of Hekdesh nonetheless would happen to be had in his own Rishus Torah that was made in a Kli Sharet. So, well, that's crazy. How could that be? He actually received the Torah Bischaro through the whole Rube Goldberg contraption of yesterday, and then he's now dedicating it back to the Dedekabah, to the Hekdesh, for whatever he gets it. Okay, so that doesn't prove anything. Shunotob is Chorok Torah. Now, Ben Azai said to Rabbi Akiva, Lozu Hamidah, you can't do it that way. What can't you do? You can't simply take the Hekdesh and give it now and expect it to be mechulal on the schar of the people that are working for the Beit HaMikdash. My time in the Ben Azai. Why does Ben Azai say that's not possible? Because he holds, Ein HaEkdesh mitchalil ala milacha, ela al hama'ot. You can't have a non-physical thing, a debt, and use that debt to be makabel kedushas damim from hekdesh. There's got to be an actual object or point. Now, taman tanina, yesh pekadshei berek habayit, the Mishnah lists in Temura the things that berek habayit is more chamur than kadshei mizbeach. So, first of all, stam hekdesh of the berek habayit. This we learn from a pasuk, if someone is magdish something, it goes to the berek habayit, unless he says b'feirush otherwise. That's a chumra berek habayit. Furthermore, hekdesh berek habayit is chal al hakol. Hekdesh berek habayit doesn't matter what the status is of the thing. Same way it could be chal on an air conditioner, it'll be chal on a behemoth, baal mum. Makes no difference. Furthermore, mo'alim b'gidudayim, ve'im anayalakoanim. That which grows, if somebody is magdish, let's say, an animal to berek habayit, then milks it. The milk, if he uses the milk, he drinks the milk, and brings mail on the milk. So there's a din of me'ila, which has to do with domi, but when it comes to mizbeah, the din of me'ila is linked to the use of the mizbeah. And furthermore, the other thing that is chamur is ein b'manai al kohanim. When you give something to the mizbeah, the kohanim get something out of it. Even if it's an ola, they'll get the orot, they'll get the skins of the ola. You give that same thing to the berek habayit, the kohanim get nothing. It's completely money that goes to hekdesh. Oh, Rabbi Chananya, well, I assume that whole Mishnah in Temura must be going according to Rabbi Eliezer. D'tanina ha-magdish l'chasav ha'ita be'imra ruya agam ha-mizbeah, zicharim ha-nekevot, Rabbi Eliezer ner zicharim yimachul l'tzorchei elot v'nekevot, yimachul l'tzorchei zivchei shlamim, v'dameyem yipluim shar nefasim l'berek habayit. I mean, if you say everything it goes to berek habayit, and that berek habayit is chal on everything. I mean, so then you're going basically according to Rebbe Eliezer. Rebbe Eliezer says, a guy who gave stam hekdesh, even though it was animals, he meant to give it to berek habayit. But if you don't know the vet, go to Rebbe Yoshua, then this Mishnah would be very misleading, because the Mishnah is claiming that stam hekdesh is berek habayit, but according to Rebbe Yoshua, the hekdesh of an animal is not stam berek habayit. Now, why would Rebbe Eliezer say that? Time into Rebbe Eliezer. What's Rebbe Eliezer's reasoning to say that everything goes to berek habayit, even though it contains animals in it? Because it says in the pasuk, "Ve'ish ki yakdish et beito kodesh la'ashem, ve'aricho ha'kohen bein tov ubein ra, kasher yaricho to ha'kohen tein yakum." Now, what is that referring to? B'ma'anan kayamim. When it says Yakdish et Beito, I mean, are we talking about literally Beito? A guy took his home and said, the Beit Dira, my home is Kodesh. No, can't be doing that, because there's a whole separate parsha in the Torah that deals with that issue. Harikvar Nemar, it already said in the Torah, and it says already said, by the way, it doesn't mean already in the sense of before this. Kfar Ne'amar means knowing the whole Torah, we know that's already here. Because this happens to be the next pasuk, not the pasuk before. Okay. But it says, Ima Magdish Yigalet Beitovi Asaf Hamishit Kesef Kechala. And so on. We have the whole parish of what to do with Magdish Bayit as special halachot, right? So, I mean, when it uses the word Beitoish, Ki Agdish et Beito, it can't be referring to Beito in the sense of his home, his physical home. It must be referring to his household, his estate. That must be the meaning. So there, Ela Kianan Kayamim, what we're talking about is someone who is Magdish Nechasav, not his house, but his Nechasim. And it says, Beferush, that Kasher Yaricho to HaKohen, Bein Tov Bein Ra, meaning there's no dinim of it being royal in Mizbeah, doesn't matter if it has a mum or whatever. Kasher Yaricho to HaKohen, meaning what? That the only thing we're concerned about is its value in money. So its value in monetary terms means that even if it is, it says, been told been right, even if it's good, even if it's a behemoth tamima, it says, all you got to worry about is its value, which means that it belongs to berek habayit. Therefore, says Rebbe Eliezer, you see, the Torah says, stomach dishes of berek habayit. Stam Ekdeshes LeBerek HaBayit, even though they were royal Mizbeah. L'chaim, that'll keep you happy. Baruch HaTzah, I know you're in the middle of the month, Shachon, you're a bit more on. Omer Rebbe Zeira, Reb Chuna, said over the name of Rav, that in order to understand the Mishnah correctly, you have to recognize B'ma Plegin. We're only talking about a case where somebody was Magdish Nechasav. And in the Nechasav, he had Behemot. But suppose a guy would be Magdish his cattle or his flock. No, they wouldn't argue about that. Kulei Amamodish Ulemizbeah. Because the whole context of what Reb Eliezer is saying, Ishki Agdish Beito, means that he gave over his Nechasim. Comes along, the Kohen finds Bein Tova, Bein Rai, even if there's things roy for the Mizbeach, nonetheless, Kasher Yaricho to HaKohen. Very nice. But it doesn't talk about a case where a guy gave animals. A guy gives animals and only animals. I mean, there I think everybody would be made, even Reb Eliezer would be made up. Since we don't have to split it, and we don't have to assume that some of it went to the Berek Abayit, so we can now say all of it went to Hekdesh Mizbeach. That's what I would think. So b'meplikin b'magdish nechasav, avu b'magdish edro kula alma modei shehula mizbeach. Whereas Rabbi Ba quotes Rav Chuna b'shem Rav as saying, on the contrary, maplikin b'magdish edro. They were arguing about a case where Rabbi Yeshua says if a guy gave his flock to Hekdesh, he meant must be for the mizbeach. Avu b'magdish nechasav, even Rabbi Yeshua would be moda that it goes to Berek HaBayit. Because certainly, I mean, what are we going to say? He gave his air conditioner and his car to the Mizbeach. He definitely gave that to Berek HaBayit. So once he gave that to Berek HaBayit, it's unreasonable to say that he split his intent. He must have meant it all to go to one account. So therefore, if it's a given that some of it had to be to Berek HaBayit, and the rest of it could have been to Berek HaBayit, then it's obvious that it all went to Berek HaBayit, and even Rabbi Yeshua is ready to agree in that case. So the exact opposite. Both of them, of course, quoting Rav. So again, in this lashon we have b'shem Rav ma pligin b'magdish edro avo b'magdish nechasav kol ama modei shehu leberek HaBayit. Now I'll die to the Rabbi Zeira. The way Rabbi Zeira had it, that everybody would be made up if he was Magdish Edro, that it would go to the Mizbeach Necha. It makes a lot of sense. And for the same reason it makes sense to Rabbi Zeira, it doesn't really make sense the way Rabbi Bo was learning, that the din over there would be that it would go to Berek HaBayit. I mean, because, I mean, ask yourself, Be'ma lola Mizbeach Hi? I mean, isn't Stam Behemah that's a Tomim, it's not meant to go to the Mizbeach? So, I mean, it's only reasonable that if there was nothing else involved, that clearly it belongs to the Mizbeach. Says the Gemara, oh yes, that's the whole point, isn't it? Behemah l'mizbeachi. And yet this gentleman didn't say anything about the Mizbeach, did he? Instead he said, I want to be Magdish my flock. What do you mean, want to be Magdish my flock? Why don't you say, I'd like my flock to go to the Mizbeach? And that's the way you would normally say it. So the very fact that a Stam Behemah would have been to the Mizbeach, and this guy doesn't say so. So Lama Satama Isha Zeh? Well, why did he not make mention of that? Shehu Ka'omer, that's the equivalent of his saying, I don't want it to go to the Mizbeach. I prefer it to go to the Berek HaBayit. That's how the second Moshen in Rav understands it. I'll leave it to Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Yochanan says, I disagree with both of you. I say Lo Shanya. Makes absolutely no difference what the case was. He Hamagdish Dechasav, He Hamagdish Edro, He Hamachloket. It's the same darn machloket, whether you're talking about Nechasav in general, you're talking about Edro. Across the board, they're arguing whether Stamek Deshut or Leberek HaBayit under all circumstances, unless we define it otherwise. And that's the machloket. Now, Rav Chuna b'shem Rav, Rabbi Avu b'shem Rabbi Yochanan. One thing I want you to know. The whole, I mean, it's very important to clarify this point. even though everybody here is concerned with the fact that the Mizbeach, once it got its claws, because it's a wolf, remember, so it's a predator. Once the Mizbeach gets its claws into an animal, it doesn't let go. And that's the reason why, even though it belongs to Berech Abayi, we got to figure out some way to get it to the Mizbeach, because otherwise how are we going to get it away from the Mizbeach, right? So we'll sell it to a young. The money, question only was where the money goes, but there was never any question about whether the Mizbeach has got to ultimately come up with this animal somehow. Gee, this married life really tires people out. What's going on? This was a guy who had endless energy. Telling you. Huh? We'll get you back into shape. You know what? It might be the kayak of Richie's chair. So I want to yet understand one thing, that halacha is just a din in clause. It's not a din in hekdesh. There's no clause in dinei kedusha that it has to be the mizbeach. So if you went ahead and you did the wrong thing, you went ahead and you were poed to this animal, it's padui, because it's really just a question of appropriateness. If you did the inappropriate thing, then it certainly is a kosher pidyon. So if you went ahead and you were poda a behemoth meima from Berech Abayit, which is meant to go to the Mizbeach but doesn't belong to the Mizbeach, there's nothing to prevent that pinion from being caught. If you attempted to be poda a behemoth meima from the Mizbeach, there'd be no way to do it, because it has Kedushas Aguf. But when you give something to the Berech Abayit, it doesn't get Kedushas Aguf, it's only Kedushas Damim. And Damim boils down to a business transaction. If the transaction was made, even though it shouldn't have been made, it's done. It's a done deal. That's all there is to it. And therefore, if you're poda tamimim yotzu lechulin, and you know what? As far as I'm concerned, you could be medayik this from a Mishnah. Matnitan amrakein. Actually, the Mishnah describes the dinim of animals that are padui. The Mishnah chulin basically says this, because it says vladan vechelban mutar lachar pidyonan. That the case that it's referring to over there, however, is not Kedushat Berech Abayit. If you recall from our recent excursion into Hulin, what it's referring to over there is an animal that was given as a Balmum to the Mizbeach. So here we have, this is why the introduction was very important. You give an animal that's a Balmum to the Mizbeach, what happens? It can't be used for the Mizbeach, and therefore it never gets that initial Kedushat Aguf. But it gets Kedushas Domim that belongs to the Mizbeach, okay? So there you can be poda it. And in contradistinction to an animal that did once have Kedushat Haguf, and then it got a mum, which you can be poda, but it never actually becomes pure chulin, because its milk is not allowed to be used. Its children, not allowed to be used. So it doesn't go out completely to chulin. It goes out to chulin only in respect to your rights to eat it. That's all. Can't use it for your own usages. Mashenkein. If the mum had come first, so it never became a Kedushas Aguf, then it's, again, just a business transaction. Rabbi Yochanan's assumption here is, look, a Kedushas Domim to the Mizbeach is the full equivalent of a Kedushas Domim to Berech Abayit. The question of whether the Mizbeach had a right to it, because if it belonged to the Berech Abayit, but was a Tamim, is irrelevant. I mean, that I'm taking for granted. If I can prove to you, albeit from a completely different case, that a Kedushas Domim, once it's Padui, is completely Padui, so then I've proven my point, as far as I'm concerned. So I show you that Kedushas Domim to the Berech Abayit, which was a case where it started with a Mum, and then I made it Kodesh. And then I was Poda. Then is that Vladan v'chalban is Mutar. So then it makes perfectly good sense to say that the equivalent case by Berech Abayit, in which doesn't matter whether it has a mum or not, because the Berech Abayit, it's always only Kedushas Tamim. It's never Kedushas Aguf. So even though you're saying, but it was really meant to go to the Mizbeach, that's just a function of appropriateness. But in terms of the pidyon,
opinion would certainly be chal. Says the Gemara, Rav Chizkiya b'shem Rav Chisda says, now wait a minute, you made an awful lot of assumptions here. I mean, Tipoter, remember that the case over there was talking about where it should say Shepad'an Achareshu Mamur, something like that. It's certainly the way we have it is no good. The Gra changes it to a Shehumamu Padan, which is also not a great Girsa because it's not Shehumamu, they always had a Mu. But Shepadan B'Muman is the point. In other words, you're trying to tell me, and I understand what you're doing, but you're pulling a little bit of fleece over our eyes here, because there's a difference, is there not, between the case of Kedushat Mizbeah, where the only reason that you're able to be pro to them is because they're Bali Mum. Now you're saying, okay, but when it comes to Berek Abayit, it's irrelevant that they're Bali Mumin or not. Because by Berek Abayit, it's always the equivalent of Bali Mumin, because it's always Berek Abayit. And therefore, it's only Kedushas Domi. Yes, but the essential thesis that you're trying to persuade us about is that the element which is called that Kivan Shero'ui LaMizbeach, Eina Yotzi Midei Mizbeach LeYoylam is the technical term, that a behema which is a Tamima cannot be removed from the Mizbeach, even though it only has Kedushas Domi, you haven't shown that that's just a matter of appropriateness. How do we know that that isn't an actual she'ibud on the animal? And that if you attempt to be poda it, it's as if Hegdish has first rights to it, and the pidyon won't be chal. But you didn't prove that, because you brought us a case from an animal that had a mum. And you're talking about a case of an animal that doesn't have a mum. So it doesn't really follow. Rabbi Yosef b'shem Rabbi Chisda says, well, actually, Masnis and Omer came. Vladan v'chalban asur l'achar pidyon. If anything, I mean, it would come under the rubric of an animal that is tamim and then got a mum, will never be yotze evenly achar pidyon. So you see, do you not, that the pidyon deals with one element and not with all elements? So, I mean, why can't we say exactly the same thing? The pidyon will deal with the element of value. Correct, it did. But now there's something that goes beyond value. There's rights to the animal, where it belongs, what its dinim are. Its dinim are to be brought on the Mizbeah. So, where do you see, on the contrary, what you see is that it's not all business. To whatever extent it's only a matter of value, it's business. To whatever extent there are dinim of Kedusha on it, for instance, when it comes to a Mizbeah behema, one of the kedushas on it is the fact that you can't use it for milking or for its children, and that doesn't go out with opinion. So, same thing would be true over here. Therefore, the whole thing doesn't follow to me. Rabbi Chizkiya b'shem Rabbi Yosef says, my friend, if you're not going to agree with what Rabbi Yochanan said, then you might as well throw out our mission of the whole sugya, because none of it makes sense. Must be because if not, will you explain to me what the heck is going on over here? We're taking a behema, which was given to Berek Abayit, it's a tamim, and what we're going to do with it is we're going to sell it to somebody to use for his carbon island. Excuse me? That's the equivalent of pidyon. Selling is the equivalent of pidyon. How did we do that? If according to your claim, there is no way to be poda, in other words, so the element of it that belonged to the Mizbeah was somehow innate in the original Hegdash. So how the heck did this other guy use it for his oila, pay money, buy it as completely his oila? What happened to that? What happened to the piece that way, anyway, the other guy had been Magdash and that isn't his, and that belonged to the Mizbeah, and you're telling me, no, it's okay, you could sell that. If you could sell it, then you could be paid it. There's no difference. Selling and pidyon is basically the same transaction. So I don't understand what you're thinking, Biklal. It's absurd.
Yeah, well, now it's going to Mizbeah.
But it's going to me. I bought it. It's my behemoth.
To go to the Mizbeah.
I don't care go to the Mizbeah. But you're saying that if it's a right of the Mizbeah, it was already an animal that belonged to the Mizbeah. Can I go buy an animal that belongs to the Mizbeah? If you agree that it was only a matter of appropriateness, and I'm trying to be Yotzei, my appropriateness is very appropriate. Thank you very much, sir. Make sure that you bring it on the Mizbeach. Absolutely, yes, indeed. That's why I'm buying it. Everything's fine. But if you're telling me that the Mizbeach already owns it, what do you, yeah, so then it's not yours. You said you were going to bring an Ayla. I am. No. That's not your Ayla. That's the other guy's Ayla, the one who was originally Magdish and Lebedeka buy it. That part went to the Mizbeach. So if he can buy it, then I can be paid it. It's as simple as that. It's actually a beautiful analysis, huh? Now, as far as the general datum, just to get clear, what elements of a thing, because now what we're doing is, if you think about it, what we've done is we've said we were being a little simplistic originally, because we either viewed an animal as Kodesh or not Kodesh. Now we suddenly came to understand that, wait, that's not necessarily true. There may be elements that have aspects of Kedushas Haguf, such as it'll never be kosher for its chalav or for its vlad, and that you can't be potent. There's aspects that are Kedushas Dami, and that you can be potent. And that got us into trouble with understanding, so what is the aspect of a behemoth that's a tamima belonging to the Berek Abayit and needing to go on the Mizbeach? And that, in fact, was the question that Rabbi Yochanan raised. So it was simplistic to view it as just one simple slate, either Kodesh Kedush Taguf or Kodesh Kedush Adami. Once we bring up this issue, I want to clarify a couple of other elements where we see it's not so simple. Let's say somebody would be Magdish, Balimumin Kotche Mizbeach. So somebody gives now to the Mizbeach Bali Mumi. They do get a certain level of Kedusha. The Kotche Mizbeach would in fact be Chol Aleim, Laida Mila, in terms of what would Kedusha Mizbeach be Chal on them. The difference would be, in terms of the Halacha of Iser, of using it for Giza V'Aveda. So over there, it would still be Asa for Giza Aveda, because that aspect is still true. Or let's say, Hifrish Nekeva La'olato. Somebody sets aside a Nekeva, which is Tamima, suitable for the Mizbeach, but he wants to bring it, he says, this is for my Ayla, or this is for my Pesach, which of course could also only be a Zohar, or this is for my Asha, which can also only be a Zohar. Now, this is a strange situation because it's completely roy for the Mizbeach, and he's giving it to the Mizbeach, but it isn't the Korban that he claims it is. What level of Kedusha does it have? Says the Tanakhama, well, it can make a Temura. It's true it can't be brought on the Mizbeach, but if you illicitly take another animal and you say, whoops, sorry, that was a mistake, here's my Zohar, this should be Takas this. And the Temura will be Chal, and they'll both be Kodesh. And the Zohar will in fact be a Korban Ayla, despite the fact that the Nekeva per se couldn't have been a Korban Ayla. So it has elements, again, I mean, this is really strange, because it isn't what you said it was, but nonetheless it has all the elements of what you said it was, once it could be what you said it was. So those in a Temura situation, where the female becomes a male, so to speak, at that point it actually becomes an Ayla. You're makriv the Temura. The Keva, we'll see what happens. The question, of course, would be, is a male carbon that is a female a mum? Can I sell it? It's as if it has a mum on it, or does it actually need a mum? That would be another element that we'd have to discuss, which we're getting into.
The mum is that kind of carbon,
right. The equivalent, the mum. You say, and the mum got only that. That's in a cave. That's a pretty big problem. Not nowadays. So Rabbi Shimon Omer, it makes a difference, as Rabbi Shimon. It's very surprising. If he wanted to make a Nekeva La'olato, then Osa Temura. But if he wanted to make a Nekeva for a Korban Pesach or an Asham, then Eino Osa Temura. Now this is really wild. Why would we say that? It turns out, no, Turns out that Rabbi Shimon's shita is that since the Torah allows you to bring an oila from an oath, and an oath can be either zocher v'nekeinah, it means that the status of nakfut is not antithetical to being an oila. So it's an incidental problem that this particular mammal has to be a zocher, but then it's still included in the overall set of oilas. So there, it could have the elements of kedusha to make a tumura in it as an oila. And by the way, tumura is a very, very useful, we're not holding in the sugya, but I just want to mention as an aside, that tumura is a very useful canary for determining, it's a miner's canary, for determining levels of kedusha. Because tumura itself is the most sensitive of the kedushas. The fact that something can make a tumura is an extremely sensitive issue, because the level of kedusha that you might have in something is not always sufficient to make a tumura, even when the original item is kavesh. Now, the question would be, let's say, this tumura that I'm going to bring is an oila, can it make a tumura? Can the tumura make a tumura? So the question of the attenuated kedusha, which is nonetheless included within the concept of the overall kedusha of that particular thing, is best indicated through the use of tumura. So it's not just a side issue here. Tumura is when you exchange one animal for another, which is an issur d'oraisa to do. But nonetheless, it's chal in the end. It says avayahu utumurato yekodesh. So therefore, Rabbi Shimon is bechalik between Oila and Peskanoshim. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, don't get him confused with Rabbi Shimon Omer, Mishum Rabbi Shimon, Leolato ulepischo ulaashamo enos etmura. You can't make a tmura for anything. The opposite extreme. Omer Rabbi Yochanan, time and Rabbi Shimon. The reason that Rabbi Shimon says that you can make a tmura from an Oila, that's an akeva, but not from a Peskanoshim, is matzir nekeva ba'of kshira lava'ola. Since the Torah includes a nekeva in the set of eilas, therefore a zocher of a behema also has a kedusha to make a tumura. V'omer Rabbi Yochanan, taimed Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda. On the other hand, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, who says nothing could make a tumura, is because it says, look, imin b'minohu chaluk alav, kol shekein min b'she'eino mino. If you could even use in the same species, the difference between, a minor difference makes it not chal at all. Kol shekein, when you've got two completely different meaning of zocher v'nekeva and so on, then for sure you would not be able to. What am I referring to? What are we talking about? We're talking about ezeo min b'mino shul chaluk alav gad etan. Asham ben Shana. Suppose you were supposed to bring an Asham Nazir, or an Asham Metzera, which had to be within its first year. You went ahead and you dedicated a Asham, an animal, in its second year. Or suppose you needed to bring an Asham Gzelot, which needed to be 2 years old. And you brought something in its third year. When I say 2 years, I mean its second year. Bring something in its third year. Lo Yatsa, and Rabbi Shimon says, Kalatzman in Kadosh. It's not even Kadosh. So if Rabbi Shimon holds it's not even Kaddish because it's the same thing, same animal, just a day later or a day earlier. He's saying it's not Kaddish Bechlal. It's a Kolshkein if it's a completely different type. It's a female. I mean, so for sure it's not Kaddish. Om Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yoshua, the sheet of Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, and Rabbi Yoshua and our Mishnah are both saying the same thing. Because basically, what did Rabbi Yoshua say? That Nekeva lo'ola lo kichala hekdesh damim. Isn't that what Rabbi Yoshua is saying? That when I went ahead and dedicated now this ola, this nekeva, so the hekdesh couldn't use it, even though it says it goes to the mizbeach. What do we do with it? We sell it. We sell it? What do you mean? It's a behemah tamima. Ah, but it's only kadosh kedushas damim. There's no kedushas aguf. So in other words, it wouldn't be able to make a tumura. It has no kedushas aguf in it. Ah, that's exactly what Rav Shimon ben Yehuda said. That if it's the wrong thing, it doesn't get ken Rabbi Shimon omer. This means Rabbi Shimon, the way we just had it, Rav Shimon ben Yehuda. Because in Temar Kaddish Kedush Zaguf, why, if the halacha was that it actually got Kedush Zaguf in our Mishnah, how could you sell it for an Ayla? You'd have to wait till it got a mum. Yeh-ra-u, it would need to go into pasture, wait till it gets a mum. Omar Rebbe, it should say, Ein aniro ed divi Rebbe Shimon b'Pesach. I don't agree with Rebbe Shimon's approach to Pesach. If he's ready to say that an Ayla is okay to make a tumura, even though it's in a cave because of birds, so then for God's sake, a Pesach is basically a shlomim. A shlomim could be in a cave. So that means that every Pesach has in it also elements of the cave too, right? Because it's Stam Pesach, once it's not roy for itself, it becomes a shlomim. So, I mean, if that's the case, Motar Pesach Bar Shlomim, and the way he is saying, hold on a minute now, by the same token, I mean, you could have used that argument to say, Velema, Eina Niro Edivi Rabbi Shimon Ba'asham, because Motar Asham Ba'ola. You say the same thing. If Motar Asham Ba'ola, and an Ola is Ba'aminan Akeva, so then once you're agreeing to Rabbi Shimon, that something that's included in some broad sense as being in a keva is kosher to make it tumura. So if I take now something, an asham, that has to be a zohar, but in its moser would be an oila, and you're willing to say that the moser is enough to do it, because for Pesach you said the moser is enough to do it. The moser is a shlomim, shlomim is a keva, boom, the keva is a Pesach. Okay, the moser of an asham is an oila, oila is in a keva, when it comes to, boom, asham is also in the keva. We use the same argument. The Gemara is going to clarify why it's not true. So it's the same thing. Amar Rabbi Yavin, no, it's not the same thing. What's not the same thing? Imikdish Pesach Bashlamim, it means Gufal Karav Shlamim, for heaven's sakes. How can you compare the two cases? When we talk about a Pesach being a Shlamim, it doesn't mean we have to sell the Pesach, use the money for Shlamim. It means the Pesach becomes a Shlamim. So that means that every Pesach has in its Guf. Its Kedusha includes Kedusha Shlamim, which includes Kedushat Nekevot. But the Hashem itself is in Igdish Hashem. And we say, the most Hashem Bo'olah, you never bring the Hashem for an Ayla. You need to sell the Hashem after it gets a mum, as money is used for an Ayla. So, Ma'o Kedona, what kind of comparison? The two cases are very, very different. Ahin, Omar Hegdesh Domin Hegdesh. Ahin, Omar Hegdesh Gufa Hegdesh. Is there a difference between being Magdish the Guf and being Magdish the Domin? And that's basically what it boils down to. All that is Kaddish for an Eila in an Asham is its Domin. Whereas what is Kaddish in a Pesach for a Shlomim is its Guf. And that's what Rebbe was saying. That I don't agree, therefore, that it needs to be the primary use of the meaning of Ayla is a Zohar in this context. Because in the broadest context, it's the Keva. If you're ready to say that its broadest context is the Keva, then it's certainly true that Pesach in its broadest context is the Keva. Because its goof would have been used for a carbon that is used for the Keva. Rabbi Zeira B'Shem Rish Lakish explains now the reasoning of Rabbi Yoshua. We already explained the reasoning of Rabbi Eliezer. So Rabbi Eliezer says, it's said in the Pasuk, basically, the idea of stomach patients, they go to the Berak Abayi. What is Rabbi Yoshua's reasoning? Rabbi Yoshua says, look, it says, Daber al Aaron vel banav vel kol b'nei Yisrael v'omar to'aliyem ish ish mi beit Yisrael u'min ager b'Yisrael asher yakriv korbano l'chol nidrehem. What is l'chol nidrehem? U'l'chol nidvotam asher yakriv al Hashem la'ola. What? What is that supposed to mean? L'chol nidrehem? L'chol nidvotam? Is it ola? That's not true. So therefore, what is the Torah trying to say over here? That basically, ha'kol korev l'ola, whatever it is that you're giving, even if you're giving a nekeva, so that means that the nekeva itself indeed can't be brought l'ola, but it must mean that the purpose of the gift is ultimately to land up on the Mizbeach as an ayla. So I don't care what you're doing. It all has to end up coming. Sell it. Use its money to bring a carbon oil. And it can't be Yotzei B'nei Mizbeach. Sell it as a shlomi. That's what Rabbi Yeshua is saying. L'ritzonchem tamim zachar. Now, wait a second. Pasuk continues that it's supposed to be. It's the next. It's really the next pasuk. It's the next word. L'ritzonchem tamim zachar. So maybe that only means zachar v'frayla. I mean, let's try to be honest here. L'chol nidveim, l'chol nidveisham, as long as it's a zoch. Minayin afil nekevot. Because it says babakar baksavim uvaizim. Once it's telling you any bokar, okay? So any bokar, any kesev, so then that's marvin and a kevas. Says Reb Yitzchak a little cynically. Reb Yitzchak, Reb Elazar, you know, when a Torah says zocher, you says it doesn't mean zocher, it means a keva, okay? So you're using bokar to tell me the rabbis is a kevas. Very good. So you know what? The Torah said tamim. Why don't we say, yeah, it says tamim, but it says bakar. Bakar could be any kind of bakar. So then even though it said tamim, it should be marva balimumi, huh? So it's the same logic. So you should say that all things have to be brought. Why did you say in the Mishnah, if there were behemoths that were tamimim, then they were meant for the mizbeach? Why? Everything. Kol nidveim, kol nidvotam, oh, tamim, oh, that's not a problem, bakar. So you should say any animal, whether it's a tamim or balmum, never goes to Berek Abayit. Huh? How come you don't say that? So you're not consistent. Rav Amar. Oh yeah, I'm not consistent. Shafta de katkada b'neyan. You know, I suppose you never did any weaving. If you did any weaving, you'd know that a weaver's got a stick to make sure that the patterns don't get mixed. What kind of cuckoo? Remember, the besekta is called a weave. The word besekta means a weave. So katkar, when you talk about somebody's learning masechta, doesn't know how to use the shift of the katkada, the stick of the guy who's going to make sure that the right threads go to the right place. There's no comparison between the two. Because one is a description of what is usable for the particular karmah, and one is a question of the type of, whether it's shayach to kedushas mizbeach at all. Are you comparing something which is essentially a domim issue to something which is a question of which carbon issue? And you look at me with your little cynical comment. That's somebody who can't use a cut. Rabbi Eliezer says, no. What you do is you sell it, and for somebody who needs those kind of meaning, and then the money goes to Berek Abayit. Says Rabbi Avuha b'Shebri v'Shlokish, let me explain Rabbi Eliezer's reasoning. Basically, the same pasuk. So, daber el Aaron v'elbanav, says ver kol nidreyem, kol nidvotam asher yakrivu la'ashem lo'ola. Okay. Hakol korev ola. Now, you had a problem, didn't you, at the end of the Mishnah? The end of the Mishnah said, according to Rabbi Eliezer, you find shmanim, slatot, ofot, whoops, Ruim Lagavim is Mizbeach. His shita ought to be that goes to the Berek Abayit. For some reason, all of a sudden he changes his tune. Doesn't go to the Berek Abayit. For some reason, it has to go to the Mizbeach, and the money is used to purchase the olot instead of going to the Berek Abayit. That's got to be based on a pasuk, because now what we're saying is that there are certain things that are not stam to the Berek Abayit. So, Yochala filo ofot. First, let me make very clear. If it says kol nidreim, kol nidvotam have to be given to the mizbeach, so then maybe we should actually put the ofot on the mizbeach. Because an of can also be an oilot. So it's a kol nidreim, the kol nidvotam. So why, first of all, why do I say that when it comes to the ofot, see, anybody who hold that it goes to the mizbeach held that the thing itself goes to the mizbeach. Correct? When I was, Rav Yoshua was arguing on me, and he said, no, the guy meant to give it to the Mizbeach. How do you express that argument? Take the animal and give it to the Mizbeach. Why do you have to sell it? Only if it's a Nikkei, you should sell it. So if I'm ready to agree in this particular case, for whatever the reason is, that it actually goes to the Mizbeach, why am I telling you to sell it? That's the first concern. Because an oaf could be brought as an oila, and it says olos. So why can't I simply give the bird itself to as an oila? That I'll tell you. Read the next words. Babakar. And it stresses over there. Davka, bibakar, bakfasim, bivayizim. Stresses all the three types of mammals that could be used for olot. But specifically, leaves out Ofot. Okay, so it's telling me for sure not Ofot. So Rabbi Yirmiyah and Rabbi Bon Bar Chia were sitting together. Vamrinan, they pointed out that Tamanam Rabbi Yochanan and Taim Rabbi Shimon Shikain Nikeva Shebaov Ksheira Lavoala. I'm a little confused. Rabbi Yochanan was the one who all along was saying that the reason that Rabbi Shimon held that you can actually bring a tmura from a female is because a female and a bird is kosher. And here you're darshaning that where you have a bird that's royal and mizbeach, then it's not kosher, lavola? Isn't that a contradiction? I thought that was the whole point. That we're comparing the kedusha on a behema that isn't roy, but it's chal nonetheless because the bird becomes the definition of the sense of possibilities in eyelids. Om Reb Yossi, kamaitika, the Om Reb Shmuel b'shem Reb Zeira. Kol she'ina yecholah likarev, lo hi v'lo dameha, lo kitcha ela kedushat damin. The ad amad ye'ut, there, look, the halacha is what cannot be brought. You can't bring it itself. And it doesn't have damim. There was no way to be paid of it. And there is no way to be paid of a bird. Because a bird, there's no little woman on a bird. You can't be poda a bird. So if you can't bring the thing itself, and you can't be poda it, then what that means is that it was never meant to be given kedusha sanguf. That's the point. It was always given hegdash dummy. So what are you trying to say? So va'at amrit ya'ut. Therefore, what you're saying is absolutely correct in this context. La'akrivo enat yachol. The pasuk is telling you can't be makrivit. Okay. So now you're asking me, but hold on a minute. You were willing to say that even, I mean, it's mad. Think of this. Even a zachar, which is an akeva, which is wild to say that it should be kadosh kedusha zaguf. You say, no, it's kadosh kedusha zaguf. Why? Because after all, it might have been a bird. But a bird isn't kadosh kedusha zaguf. I mean, it's crazy what you're saying. That was the kasha. Says the Gemara, no, it's not crazy. On the contrary, it's an insight into the whole point that Rabbi Eliezer is making. The Rambam, when he paskins the halacha, speaks this out, la halacha. He says, and why is it that the bird has this halacha, that it's given to the mizbeach, and the behema, the money is given to the berek habayit? And he says, this is the reason. Because the bird, you can't be paid. The shmoni v'shlosa, you can't be paid if it was given for its goof. On the other hand, you can't bring it. So what the heck is the meaning of the Kedusha? Therefore, the whole meaning of the Kedusha is that the domain belongs to the Mizbeach. Mashein Kain, the case of the animal, it's a Nekeva. Fine, you can be paid it. Either you can be paid it because it's a Nekeva, that's a Mum, or you can be paid it because it gets a Mum. I don't care. You figure that out. So let that be the Machlokas. But certainly it's Shayach Binyan. So you don't have to say that the man's intent with Hatchila was to split the issues. The money goes to the Berek HaBayit, and I'll use it for the Mizbeach. There, if the only meaning is the money, and the thing is meant to be used by the Mizbeach, and Eino Yotze Yidei Mizbeach, so then obviously the money belongs to the Mizbeach. That's why I'm saying in this case it's all right to give the money to the Mizbeach, and we use it, of course, for the Nedavos. So therefore, Atam of Yehos, you're saying exactly the right thing. La'akrivo enat yachol. It says, b'bakar, b'lo bofa. Lifdoto enat yachol. She'en la'ov pidyon. L'fum kein. That's precisely why Tzorech Meimar, lo'kot she'ela kedushat damim. The original kedusha was kedushat damim. Once it's understood that he has a mind kedushat damim, it's kedushat damim on his mizbeach. Why would it go to Berek HaBayit? After all, the mizbeach doesn't relinquish its right to it. And therefore, QED, the very thing that you asked as a question, is a gilui on the whole meaning of the sugya. It sounds wild when you think about it, and then when you look into the logic of it, it makes perfectly good sense.
Why do they translate
Opus? Okay, quick review. Hamagish, because of Ibn Dvarim Rumi, the Kabbalah Satsi, Vahinat, the Loman, the Miskaran, the Rebbe Akiva, Om Labanaz, that doesn't make sense. Ina Yamida. Ella, we do the same thing we did before. And then, and of course, with these words, Rabbi Akiva also agrees. חוזרים ולוקחים אותה מתשומה חדשה. הבטיש לבסבו ירבה אם הרויה גם אם בסבר זוכר בדקי בסבר בלי יזבר זוכר ימוך לצרכי אלויס נקי ימוך לצרכי זכי שלומים דומים יפלים שנה חסד ברגע בית רבי שהוא אומר זוכר עם עצמך יקבו עלות נקי בוד ימוך לצרכי זכי שלומים ויביא בדמיהם אלויס ושנה חסד ירפלו לברגע בית אומר רבי עקיבא רואה אני את דבר בלי יזר מדבר רבי ישוע שרב בלי יזר ישבת בינותת ורבי ישוע חלק אומר רבי פפייס, שמעתי דברי שניהם, המדגיש בפירוש דברי בליעזר, מדגיש סתם כדברי ביהושע. המדגיש לחסב היו בהם דברים ראויים לגמרי מזבח יהיה נשבונים על פייס רבי בליעזר וימח לצרכי אותו המין, ויובידו בהם העולות, שהנכסים יפלו לברק הבית. המדגיש לקרבנת ציבור רבי יוחנן אומר, referring to the ktoret, אומר רבי יוחנן, none of us does prove anything, because תיפטר באומן משל בית אפטינס, שאני רוצה בזכור, ktoret. My time with Ben Azir, who says that you can't do that, because he holds in Hegish with Chalel Ala Malacha, Ela Ala Ma'ot, so we first have to set aside money. That is Chulin. Taman Taninon Yesh Kachi Berekabai, just Hamek Desh of the Berekabai. Furthermore, Hegish Berekabai is Chal Ala Kol. Furthermore, Mol Begidu Layem. Furthermore, Ein Bem Ana Ale Kohanim. Said Rabbi Chananya, the Mishnah and Tumur is going to Rabbi Yezer. The Tanina, Magish, the Chos, Vait Ben Behem, Ruya. Agabe Mizbeah, Zacharim in the Kevot, Rabbi Yezer, Omer Zacharim, Yomach, Lutzorch, Yelos, Kev, Zimach, Lutzorch, Zipke, Shlomi. And nonetheless, the man Yiblum, Shana, Chasim, the Berek Abayit. You see, the Berek Abayit is Chal on everything. Omer Rabbi Yochanan, time in Rabbi Yezer, the Ish Ki Yaktishet, Beito Kodesh Lashem. Explain to me what that means. The man on Kayami, in the Beit Dira, literally, Vakviva Makdish, Yigalat Beito, Elakenan on Kayami, Bematish Nechasab, okay? Mikan, Shestamek Deshav Leberakabai. Omer of his era, and the name of Ravuna Beshem Rab, Bamer Pligin only Bemakdish all of Nechasab. But if he says, I'm Makdish Edri, so Kuliyam Amodish Lemizbeah, was Rabbi Bak, was referred to Beshem Rab, saying the opposite. Mak Pligin Bemakdish Edro, Abu Magdish Lechasab, since some of it has to go to the Berek Abayit, the air conditioners, the cars, Kuleyam Amodish Berek Abayit. I'll die to the Rebbe Zir Necha, and in fact, Kasha the Rebbe Ba. I didn't understand. I mean, any idiot knows that a Behema doesn't a Behema go to the Mizbeah? So they're going in. That's the whole point. Behema, the Mizbeah, he said, and Lama Satama Isha said. It's as if he said, Loye, a little Berek Abayit. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Lo Shanya, he amagdish lechosav, he amagdish edro. It's the same darn machlokas. Rabbi Yochanan point out that Kodesh Berek Abayit, Shepod Antvimim, must be Yotze Vachulin. And in fact, that's the implication of Mishnah Chulin, that Vlodon Vechelman Mutar Lachar Pidyonat, Reb Chizkiya B'Shem Reb Chizkiya says, why? Not necessarily. Tipater over there only Shepod An Kishuhumamu. Reb Yosef B'Shem Reb Chizkiya says, well, not Nita Amrake. Vlodon Vechelman Otze Lachar Pidyonat. Reb Chizkiya B'Shem Reb Yosef says, there's no way out of this, man. Kodesh Berek Abayit Shepod An Tvimim, of course we Yotze Vachulin. Because In Tamar Lo Yotze Vachulin, how do you understand our Mishnah? Hey, Kodesh Mizbeach, Halon Al Kodesh Berek Abayit, we can't sell it. Now, Bali Mumin, Kodesh Mizbeach, Kola Alayim, in terms of what? Legizav Al-Abayda. Hifrish Nekeva Lo'olotu L'Pizcha La'ashomo, we have a machlokas. Going to Tanakama, it would still be Osa Tmura. Rabbi Shimon Omer Lo'olotu Osa Tmura. L'Pizcha La'ashomo Ein Osa Tmura. Rabbi Shimon Ben Yehuda, Imer Mishum Rabbi Shimon, Lo'olotu L'Pizcha La'ashomo Ein Osa Tmura. Omer Rabbi Yochanan, you know why Rabbi Shimon says there's a difference between Olos and the others? She came Natsinu Nekeva Ba'of. And nonetheless, it's Kashla Ba'ola. Omer Rabbi Yochanan, and you know why Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda says nothing makes a tumura? Because imin b'mino hu chaluk alav. Rabbi Shimon himself is chaylik even on the same as Zohar. So koshkim imin b'sheinu mino. What do I mean? Ezu min b'mino shu chaluk alav. Like the case of Asham ben Shana, which is standard Asham Nazira, so Asham Mitzayra. Vehevi ben Shtayim. Ben Shtayim, vehevi ben Shalosh. Lo yatsa. And over there, Rabbi Shimon says, Yatza, lo yatza. Kolat manen kedushin. So if Rabbi Shimon holds kolat manen kedushin, he's going to say that it's Eisa Tumura. If it's in a cave, that's crazy. Long Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yeshua, Shneim Omer Dovar Echad. Because Kamod Rabbi Yeshua Omar, in our Mishnah, Nikevala Ola, Logide Shala Hegdashdami, so to this Rabbi Shimon, of course this means Rabbi Shimon, I'll leave it to Rabbi Shimon Ben Yehuda, hold that Nikevala Ola, Logide Shala Hegdashdami, because Intema Hegdash Kedush Kedush Zaguf. So then why does it say that you can sell it? You would have to wait until it gets a mum, Ye Ra'u. Omar Rebbe, Ein Ani, it should say, Ein Ani Ro'e Div Rebbe Shimon V'Pesach, because Motor Pesach Barshlami, so then he could say, Ein Ani Ro'e Div Rebbe Shimon Ba'asham, Shemotar Hashem Ba'olam, Om Rebbe Yovin, what's the comparison? Im Yiddish Pesach, Pesach itself is Barshlami, means Gufo is Barshlami, but Im Yiddish Hashem Ba'olam, doesn't mean it's Gufo's Karav Olam, so Ma'okidon, Ayin Omar Edish Domi Im Yiddish, it's not comparison. Rabbi Zeir, Rabbi Shemesh Lakish, as the time of the Rabbi Yoshua, is that the elements, the korban, go to the mizbeach. Zdaber la rondel banavo kovnei Yisrael v'amartalayim. Ish ish vibeit Yisrael asher akriv la Hashem lo ola means akol korev lo ola leretzonchem tamim zachar. Minayin afil nekevot, since it says here zachar. Tamonomar babaka rabot et nekevot. So therefore, sell it for tzarech shlami, but the money belongs to mizbeach. Rabbi Yitzchak ben Rabbi Eliezer shaal, k'tiv zachar, and you're ready to say a zachar actually is in a keva, huh? The bakal rabot in a keva. So you could say the same thing, k'tiv tamim, and say bakar is marba balimumi, mar benayim. Rav says, oh, nothing, just shafted the kadosh benayim, no, nothing else. Rabbi Eliezer miyemachru letzarech otami. Rabbi Avu b'shem b'shem l'arch time in Rabbi Lezer daber al Aaron v'al benavir asher kriv l'Hashem la'ola. So kol nidreyam kol invotehem hakol korev ola l'rzonchem tamim zachar. Fine. So everything you might think that includes ofot tamim lomar. No. Babakar v'kvasim v'izim v'ksamim v'izim. So babakar v'lo bovot. Rabbi Yirmiyah and Rabbi Bon Barchia havin yativin, and they pointed out that it seems to be a wild contradiction. Taman Amar Rabbi Yochanan that the time of Rabbi Shimon is shekene kevash ba'ov kshira lavola, and here you're ready to say, no, actually, even the oath can't ba'ola. Ochad Amar Achim, Om Rabbi Yosi, of course, kiamtia. If you hold of Rabbi Shmuel b'shem Rabbi Zira, kosh inayah kolali karev lohiva lo damea lo katsha elag d'shdamim. And if you hold to that, Adamat Yehud, because it makes perfectly good sense, like Rivoina Tayacho. Dichti Babakar Vlobofo. Liftoto Inatayacho. Shame of Pidyon. Lufum Kain Sarah Neymar Lokichalakitushadam.